Amen. What's happening, everybody? Are y'all ready tonight? Amen, amen. Did you guys enjoy the worship? The more you put into it, the more you get out of it. The more you put it, you come here on time, ready to worship, ready to release. And I was talking about raising your hands. This is a sign of surrender. It's not a hippie thing, but it's like a criminal thing. Okay? Criminals do this. Okay? So we are all sinners. We're criminals. Lord, thank you. Sorry for offending you. So I want to encourage you to keep coming on time, keep coming ready to worship. Worship starts well. Amen? A quick announcements. I want to encourage you to, in your bulletin, is a conference this weekend. Planet Shakers to come to the conference this weekend, Thursday, Friday. It's a conference from Australia. It's first time in the U.S., and we're hosting that Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And also, we have a ministry here called JC's Girls. They go to strip clubs, and they are going to a porn convention to share the love of Christ, and they're out in the lobby. And so go visit their table. Amen? Amen? Amen, yes. Okay, let's see your Bibles tonight. Let's see your Bibles. Whoa. One more time, say word. Very good. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. And before we get into it, I want to ask you to help me with some secretarial duties. We don't have numbers in the lesson plan, so I'm going to ask you to write some in there. Amen? Do you have a pen? Let me see. How many of y'all have a pen? Very good. Turn to the first page of your lesson plan. See where it says, what is fasting, right next to it. Right underneath it says, biblical fasting. Write a number one next to that. Just a number one. Turn the page over. We're basically going to write numbers next to every line that has a space and a fill-in. It says, the first fill-in says, establish and, put a two. Right under that, it says, ask for, put a three. And then down halfway, it says, in the middle of the page, increased space, put a four, and then a five. Amen? Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to inconvenience y'all, okay? Everybody, get on your knees. Let's get on our knees right where we're at. I'm sorry to make you inconvenience. If it's inconvenience, don't have to do it, but go ahead. Get on your knees. Yeah. Every day. Every day, be in this position, whether it be physically or here. Tomorrow, we start a 40-day fast. You don't have to do it. We're going to talk about that. That's our topic for tonight. But tomorrow, many of y'all are going to start a fast, whether it's going to be 40 days, 10 days, 1 day, 5 day. And if every day you get in this position before God, and this is saying, God, it ain't about me. It ain't about you. We are nothing. God moves your life around. He does stuff in your life. He has full authority to do whatever he wants. Amen? And so I just want us to pray from this position today as we get ready to go into this 40-day fast. So, Lord, let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you so much. You know everybody in this room. You know they're going and they're coming, their ups and downs, their fears, their burdens, their concerns, their pain, their guilt, their shame, their oppression, depression. And Lord, you love us the same. And you want so bad to bless us, to renew our minds and our hearts, to purify our hearts. You want so bad to give us your best. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to everybody here, everybody listening online, and they would give you an opportunity to do in their heart what they haven't let you do yet. And I pray that you encourage them to go on a fast that's for some length, whether it be 1 day, 10 days, 20, or the full 40, that you would encourage them to surrender and give up something that they may spend more time and more quality time with the God of the universe. Thank you for being who you are. And Lord, we all thank you 100 times that no one in this room kneeling on the floor is God. No one watching online is God. Only you are God in heaven. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, in the nombre de Jesus, our Lord and Savior, amen. Amen. Two more things I want to encourage you in before we get into the message is, one, bring a friend. Last week, I encouraged you all to bring a friend. Sometimes during this series, how many of you brought a friend tonight? Anybody? Very good, very good, very good. Let's give them a piece of my hand. Amen. For all of you friends who got brought, go get a friend. You're probably sitting there, I don't know if I like it yet. Okay, great, we'll get that. That's good, that's good. But for all of y'all else, all the other people, I want you to be thinking about a friend that does not go to church. Don't go and say, hey, you go to your church, I'm coming to your, you know, you could do that anytime. I want you to go out and get someone who does not go to church. Put yourself at risk of being rejected. But also put someone else's life at risk of being blessed. Okay, being rejected and the pain of rejection is way overrated. It's not as bad as you think. So number one, bring a friend. Number two, I want you to join a community group, which is one of our small groups in the church, where people from the church meet together in a home in a small group. Sunday is never designed to meet all your spiritual needs. That's not what it's for. Okay, you need fellowship all the time. You need to surround yourself with people who love God and are trying to follow God like you're trying to follow God. Okay, it's like taking a coal out of the fire and putting it by itself. It's going to get cold, but you put it with other coals in the fire, it's going to burn hot. So we want to surround ourselves with people who are walking God. Amen? Amen. Okay, in 1995, how many of y'all were not born in 1995? Okay, little youngins. How old are you? 17. In 1995, I had a ministry called Miles Ahead Ministries, and we were getting ready to do our first youth crusade at the sports arena, which is about 2 miles from here. We had never put on a youth event. It was going to cost about $250,000, which was a lot of money now. It's a lot of money then, especially when we had never raised any money. And we organized youth pastors around San Diego County and planning this. We had never done it before, so everything was a first time for us. And we kept praying, Lord, what do you want us to, what can we do to make sure we secure all the blessing you have for us? How many of y'all want all the blessing God has for you? Amen. Amen. And so then during the process, I met a couple. They were in their 50s, and they said that they had just done a 40-day fast. Now, at that time, I thought being in your 50s was old. Now that I'm in my 50s, I realize that 50 is the new 25. And 25 is the new 5. So I was challenged. I said, you said this guy and his wife were in the 50s. They did a 40-day fast. And I was like, oh, we could definitely do this. Because I heard about people doing a 40-day fast. So I said, we're going to do a 40-day fast. And we challenged all the people on our volunteer team, our small staff we had. And all these people did a 40-day fast. So tomorrow, we start our 40-day fast. Now, again, you don't have to do it. You can do whatever you want. I encourage you to talk to your physician. I encourage you to get books. We got books in the bookstore. Go online. And I'll talk more about diet in a minute, just a little bit, but you need to read up on it. But what you are not going to do is stop eating tomorrow. That we don't want you to do that. So we'll get into that in a few minutes. And again, you do what God tells you to do. But I want to talk about that today, because as we talk about and we continue this series called The Life, everyone say The Life. The Life is a series about the book of Acts. Say Acts. And the book of Acts is a story of the history, the 30-year history beginning birth of the church. Say birth. It's a story of the birth of the church. Say birth. Everyone take a deep breath in. Say birth. That's what I'm talking about. It's the birth of the church. The book of Acts is also the bridge between the four Gospels in the Bible and the rest of the New Testament. It is a what between the Gospels and the New Testament? A? And it's the what of the church? Say birth. And again, this book is about when the church, the Christian church, began. And it began when the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost, which was a holiday, and 3,000 people were saved in one time. And then the church started, and all those 3,000 people from around the world, they immediately went back to their towns and took the gospel. But what's so critical about the book of Acts and living the life is that you have to be a person of prayer. Because walking with God is not walking in your own physical strength, your mental strength, your emotional strength. That's inferior to your spiritual strength. Spiritual power is superior to natural power. And to get spiritual power, you need to have the Holy Spirit living in you. And then you need to connect with the Holy Spirit through prayer. Fasting will empower your prayer. So let's read Acts chapter 1. We're actually going to read a bunch of verses through the book just about prayer. Look what it says in verse 14 of chapter 1. It says, these all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication. Everyone say prayer. This is right after Jesus ascended into heaven. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. Everyone say prayers. Turn to Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer. Everyone say prayer. Turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I like this verse. It says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. Everyone say shaken. Yeah. Can you imagine if we were on our knees, this place started to shake? First thing y'all would think, earthquake. But then it was shaken, but you knew in your heart it wasn't earthquake. It was God. Yes. You want God to shake your life? When you pray, you're talking to God. God in heaven, who has the earth as his footstool. It's like nothing. It's like nothing. He can shake it if he wants. He can shake your life. Look what it says in verse 31. I read again. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word with boldness. When you got the Holy Spirit empowers you to do what he wants you to do, whether it be preach, whether it be teach, encourage, heal people, pray for people, whatever it is, God, you do it. This place shook. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they started to preach the gospel. Acts chapter 6. Go to chapter 6. Verse 3, it says, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Say prayer. Turn to Acts chapter 10. Verse 30. It says, Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting. Everyone say fasting. Until this hour, at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. It may be that during your fast, while you're praying, something supernatural is going to happen to you. God, an angel may appear to you. Something. It's completely up to God. Turn to Acts chapter 14, verse 23, it says, when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Everyone say, prayed. Say, fasting. Okay, number one in your notes. Number one in your notes. Fasting. What does it mean to fast, at least in a biblical sense? Fasting is when you voluntarily deny yourself of food that you may have better time with God. What does it say? You may eat food and increase your time with God. Not only the time with God, but the quality of time with God. And someone once asked me, back when I was doing a fast, and I was teaching on it, what does food have to do with being spiritual? Well, if you stop eating, you will find out. I want you to think about it this way. When you wake up in the morning, what's one of the first things you think about? What am I going to eat? And while you're eating whatever you're eating, you're strategizing what you're going to eat next. So you eat whatever you eat for breakfast, then you go to school or work, and then you get your little Starbucky snack before your lunch. And then at lunch, you get your post-lunch snack, and then your pre-dinner snack, and then your dinner, and then your post-dinner snack, and then you eat in bed with crumbs on your mouth as you go to sleep. Because in your mind, you have this perception that you have to eat all day and a lot to be able to survive. When in fact, you got reserves all up in here. You think you have to eat to live. I'm going to tell you, if you go to the grocery store, how many of you have ever been to a grocery store? Okay, it's a kind of rhetorical, dumb question. When you go to the grocery store, this is a fact. Everything in the aisles is all poison. It just is. A lot of it's not even food. It's manufactured stuff you consume. Now, around the edges of the grocery store, fruits, vegetables, meats, chickens, that's all food. And some of that is genetically modified. Go to GMO. You know, when you eat chicken, some chickens when you eat, you are eating a chicken that is less than 30 days old. Comes out of the egg, they inject it with hormones, and within 30, 28 days, it's full grown, and they kill it, and they give it to you. You're eating a genetically modified hormone steroid animal. You didn't know that. You think this chicken walked around and just grew up as an adult and walked around, and after a few years, it's okay now. No, this bad boy comes out, little chick comes out of the egg, kicks himself out of the egg. They start injecting that bad boy with steroids. It goes bam, 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 like Hulk, and then that's what you eat. How many of y'all did not know that? 29 days, give or take. And you wonder why people get cancer. So you think you need that. I was with someone Friday night, and then we were talking about the fast, and this person said to me, I can't go a day without eating, so I can't fast. I get lightheaded and all the stuff happens to me. One day, they were telling me this. This is a true story. Some of the stuff I'm going to tell you might not be true. But I'll tell you if it's not true. So far, everything else is what I believe to be true. So this person said to me, I can't go one day without eating. So I had some fudge in my house. I have fudge. We just got rid of it from Christmas. I got all these chocolates. So I just eat a little bit every day. So I said, you got to have some of this fudge. It was so good. So I said, you have some of this fudge. So this person finished telling me, I can't go a day without eating. No lie. She walks out of the house with her husband, gets in her car. Now, I find this out the next day. She starts getting sick. That night, 3 o'clock in the morning, she thrown up, diarrhea, passed out, went to the hospital. Passed out, went to the hospital, sick. Since Friday night, that person has not been out of the bed and has not eaten one thing. 2 days. So I'm talking to her today. I know it's comical because I'm talking today going, you know what? She said, what was in that chocolate? I said, don't blame the chocolate. That chocolate was good. I didn't get sick. I'm eating that chocolate every day. It ain't the chocolate. God wanted to show you that you don't need to eat. Because she said to me on the phone, you know what? I haven't eaten in 2 days. And I just finished saying I can't eat. You think you need all this stuff, not only food, affirmation, attention, physical intimacy, things, money. You think you need all that. You don't. You don't. You just need God. What a fast does, it separates you. You say, I'm going to separate myself and I'm going to give more time to God. But what's even better than the time is the quality of time to God. Because now you don't have the distraction of your idols. And if you can realize you don't need food, you will realize you don't need a whole bunch of stuff that you've been relying on and chasing and pursuing and clamoring for. Because if I don't get it, I'm not going to be happy. If I don't get it, I'm not going to be important. That is all a lie. 100% lie. 100%. All you need is God. All you need is God. Let me get ahead of myself. Let me read some. I get all jacked up. In the Bible, in the Bible, they fasted for a bunch of stuff. I'm just going to read these to you real quick. In Judges chapter 20, they fasted because they had a war, a civil war. The Israelites fought against themselves, and they killed some of their own people. They fasted for a day. In Jonah chapter 3. They put on a fast because God called, Jonah went to preach to them and told them God was going to judge them, and the king called a fast. When King Saul died, David called a 7-day fast. When Esther, a young queen, was going to confront the king at the peril of her life, risking her life because no one went to the king unless he called you, she fasted and called all her people to fast. Jesus, this is hilarious. Little boy is demon-possessed. His disciples are praying for the little boy, praying in tongues, praying in toes, praying in fingers. Nothing can happen. And they were praying, bada boom, shakalaka, boom, boom, boom. And they were doing incense, and they were firing and throwing, and the demon wouldn't come out. And Jesus came and prayed 17 words, you deaf, dumb spirit, come out of him and into him no more. And the spirit came out. And his disciples said, Jesus, how'd you do that? And he said, this kind could come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. In other words, there's some spiritual strongholds, bondage, chains, shackles, handcuffs that are on your life that will never be broken unless you fast. Ain't gonna happen. You can try all you want. You go to rehab all you want. You can beg, complain to God. You can get all the help you want. Some of that stuff will never gonna happen unless you fast. Unless someone prays for you. Spiritual. You can't, you know, there's a play called you can't, your arm's too short to box with God. You can't box with the devil neither. Where's he at? He's got you like this. And you can't get stuff out of your head. You can't get stuff out of your heart. You're convinced you are nothing. You're convinced you're this or that. And God says, no, you're this. But you can't see it. You're blind. Jesus said, you got to fast. Paul, when he was sent out, fasted. We just read that. Cornelius fasted. We just read that. Daniel got thrown in the lion's den. The king who got tricked into throwing him into the lion's den fasted on Daniel's behalf. And you know what happened to Daniel when he went into the lion's den? Nothing. The lions went to sleep. How many of y'all would love to just sleep with a bunch of lions around you? That would be, I actually got to touch a tiger. I was at the zoo, and it was they took us behind the scenes, behind the stuff, and behind, you know, when you see the enclosure from the pedestrian side, we went in the back. And there was a chain link fence, like the kind of chain link fence in your yard. And on the other side was the white tiger that they have at the zoo. And the sign said, don't touch the animals. Don't put your fingers through the fence. I'm like, yeah, okay, I can touch this lion. And he was right there. And I was like, How many of y'all would like to touch a tiger? Hey, a tiger. And he was like, Daniel went in the lion's den, and God shut the mouths of the lions. God made the lions. They're like kitty cats to him. The king fasted and prayed that Daniel wouldn't die because Daniel was a righteous man. Elijah, Jesus, Moses all fasted 40 days. 40 is the number of testing. When God judged the earth and it caused the flood of the earth when Noah built his ark, it rained 40 days. When Israel was going to go into the promised land, they spied out the promised land 40 days. And God showed them, it is what it is, what I told you. But they didn't believe that they can conquer the promised land, and they doubted God, so God punished them, and they walked for 40 years. When Goliath was talking trash to the Israelites, Goliath was a Philistine, he talked trash for 40 days. Then David came out and whooped him. Jesus fasted 40 days. Moses fasted 40 days twice. Elijah fasted 40 days. A woman is pregnant 40 weeks. And then she has the baby. Time of testing is up. Baby got to come out. There's a bunch of 40s in the Bible. We can go on and on and on. So we're going to fast 40 days. Now, if you look in your notes, one of the first things you need to do is establish a goal, a spiritual goal for your fast. In other words, it's one thing to get your diet. I'm going to, you know, eat fruits and vegetables for a week or so, and then I'm going to drink juices for a couple of weeks or 20 days, and I'm going to eat fruits and vegetables. There's a lot of different ways you can do it. You can fast one day, 10 days, 20 days, and there's a whole bunch of recipes in books in the bookstore. What you don't want to do is stop eating right away. You want to taper into it. You want to clean yourself out because there is a 30-foot tube or hose, like a tube. It starts here, and it ends back there. To put this in perspective, if you ever watch football and you see the guys on the first down marker, and one guy's holding a pole like this, and there's a chain 10 yards in football, and another guy holding a pole, say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Amen. That is 30 feet. So the distance between here and there is 30 feet. Literally, it goes like this, and then it goes all around. But if you took all your intestines out from your throat to your rectum, it'd be 30 feet. Do you know if you took all your veins and arteries and capillaries out of your body, it'd be 80,000 miles. Oh, if you took your DNA out of your body and you unraveled all the DNA in your body, it would reach the moon. And you think that was an accident and no one ingenious designed that? Please. You're crazy. But here's my point. You got to have a goal. God, first, I want to make sure my physical plan for my fast is correct. I make sure my physical plan. But what is your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? Lord, I want to be free of my addiction. I want to fall in love with God. I want to know my purpose. So here's, in your notes, look what it says. Number two, establish an altar. Look in your notes, an altar, a time and a place to meet with God. In other words, think about where you live. Whether you live in an apartment, house, your car, or outside. Where's the place that you say, I'm going to go there every day and I'm going to wait on God? Think about it now. Don't do this. Get out of bed. You know, God, okay, God, I'm just going to go about my day, get dressed, take a shower, eat food. Okay, God, I hope you bless me today. And God's like, what's that? Can you imagine being married, living with somebody, your spouse, and you're supposed to have a relationship with that person, and you get up and all you do all day is walk around them, by them, don't even look at them, don't even just mumble. That's not a relationship. It's that you say this, God, in this chair, in my living room, my bedroom, my dining room, this rock in my yard, my car in the garage, my desk at office early before anybody gets there. That's where you and I are going to meet every day. I'm going to have my Bible. I'm going to have a pen. I'm going to have a paper. Why a pen and paper? A couple of reasons. As you read through the Bible, write down what you don't understand, and then we'll help find someone to help you figure it out. And when God speaks to you, write it down. Because he will speak to you. Now, we're reading through the Bible as a church, and every week in your lesson plan is the scheduled reading for the week. But if you want, we will send you to your phone the actual verses of each day's reading. And if you want that, just write this down. Write down SD Rock, that's our website, SDRock/Bible. SDRock/Bible. If you want to get our phone app, you go SDRock/mobile. And if you want to have to remember the slash, just go to SDRock and it's all right there. And we'll send you the verses for tomorrow. You just read it. Now, we could send it to you and read it for you, but that wouldn't do you any good. Lord, I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to read through the whole Bible. How many of you have never read through the whole Bible before? Boom, read the Bible. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, the devil came to Eve and said, Eve, what did God really say about the tree? And she said, well, you know, God said, don't eat it, don't touch it, lest you die. If you don't read the Bible, how are you going to know what God said? The devil will tell you anything. And you know what? You'll believe it. Because number one, you won't believe it. You don't even know it's the devil. And number two, you ain't going to know what the Bible says anyway. Got to read the Bible. So here, look what it says in your notes. Establish an altar, a place and a time. Pen and paper. Ask for privacy from your friends. Hey, if you're going to fast, matter of fact, how many of y'all by a show of hands are going to do some kind of fast with us? So raise your hand. Very good. Woo. Keep your hand up real high. Now, I'm going to tell you, if all y'all do a significant fast and you let God move in your life, miracles are going to happen. Okay? So here's what you tell your friends. Tell your family and friends, the people you around, hey, look, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go on this fast. Let's keep this between us. But don't be asking me about it. And don't be like, yo, man, how come you ain't eating? Don't be just, you know, calling me out on it because I don't want to have to say it. It's just between us. Now, People say, well, if you tell somebody, don't you lose your blessing? No. If you do this, you lose your blessing. Oh, fasting. I'll be okay. I'm just trying to see God. Oh. It's all right. Just, I've been all night in prayer. I can't. And they say to you, how long has it been? Oh, just one day. Please. Wash your face. Be normal. Be normal. I'm going to tell you, on the physical side, you may get a little weak for a little while because your body's actually going to detox. Okay, your breath may start kicking for a little while, a little more than it's already kicking. But there's going to come a time when your body is cleansed that you're going to require less sleep. You're going to see really good. You're going to hear stuff so good, you'll hear it before people say it. You'll be able to smell In-N-Out from out of state. Mm-hmm. Your senses are going to be better. Why? Because all this junk's going to be out of your body. Okay? So you ask privacy. Look at the next one in your notes. You're going to find yourself moving slower. You get a little weaker. Can you exercise? Absolutely. You just exercise. You do what you can. Over time, you're going to lose muscle mass, so you'll get weaker, but you do what you can. You want to exercise. You want to go on walks to the degree that you can. Drink a ton of water. Again, I'm not giving you diet. You go get your diet from your book. You go get your diet from your doctor, but I'm telling you about my experience. But one of the things really going to happen, look what it says in number 4 in your notes. You will have an increased hunger for God. Oh, 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 oh. Right now, some of y'all wake up and you worry about stuff. You got to have your coffee. Some of you are shaking as you are brewing your coffee. You're standing at Starbucks like this. I got to have a latte, frappuccino, and you're like, come on now, girl, give me my thing. Ah. Say amen if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Not only is that called an addiction, straight up addiction. When you detach yourself from that and you start to draw closer to God and the barrier between you and God and the barrier between that's blinding you from seeing God. Right now, I see all of you as a blur. I just see blur. I don't see any faces, even down here. I just see blur. I know there are humans, but I just see blur. That's how you see life right now. The longer you go into your fast, the better prescription your glasses are going to be. And you're going to be like, oh. When I did the first 40-day fast, the last 10 days of the fast, I was traveling, speaking. So I was speaking 2 or 3 times a day, traveling on the road back east in the winter. I fasted from the day after Christmas to February 4th, from 1995, day after Christmas to February 4th, 1996. So I did not eat the whole month of January. So the whole month of January, I can honestly say I had not eaten all year. And I lost 20-something pounds. I was dehydrated, now looking back on it, and I was nasty, but I felt amazing. In the last 10 days, I was in hotels back east with my juicer, carrying my juicer around. Now, I'm an extrovert. I love people. I'm stimulated by being around people. Some people are stimulated by being alone. I like people, talking, relating to people, meeting new people, learning new stuff. I'm going to die talking. I'm going to die like this. But what happened during the fast is that my hunger for God, and this is going to happen to you, it went like that. I would literally put this little towel on the floor. I would fold it up perfectly, put my Bible on the bed, and the presence of God was so thick, I couldn't even read the Bible. And God said, I don't want you to read the Bible right now. I just want you to enjoy my presence. And I would just start praying. I would open the Bible and like light would come. It wasn't physical light, but the light of God would come out and I would just start praying. I couldn't even read it. He said, don't worry about that. Worry about me. And so I would go out, speak, and I said, I gotta go to my room. I gotta go. And I would go to my room just to be with God. A lot of y'all in here been high and drunk before. Matter of fact, let's take a poll. All these druggies up in here, I know y'all. I'm not gonna ask how many of y'all are high right now. When you get high and drunk, whatever drug it is, cocaine, meth, heroin, whether it's hallucinogenic or not, my drug of choice was cocaine and marijuana. When you get high, the drug tells your brain to release chemicals that you already have. Matter of fact, if you take heroin or some hallucinogenic drug and you start seeing stuff, the drug is telling your brain to release the chemicals that empower you to see things when you dream. But they just release them when you're awake. But you already have it in your head. You have that ability. That's why you can experience it. When you fast, there is a euphoric feeling that goes with it, with the presence of God, that God has given you the ability to sense his presence. It's not about the feeling, but it's about what the presence of God does to you. There's a feeling associated with it. But when you're in God's presence, just like you're in the presence of someone you love, when you're in the presence of love, something happens. And then when that something happens, you realize that there's way more to life than you know. That's what you have to look forward to. So you're going to get an increased hunger for God. And by the way, if you fast, the longer you fast, when you come off the fast, you will realize that you get a little discouraged because you felt like you came back into this ghetto world. Because you've been in that world for a while. Then it says next, number five, you will have a distaste for this world. You will realize I've been greedy. I've been selfish. I don't need that. I don't want that. And I hate to say it, I love ice cream. I have a sweet tooth. You will get to the point where you realize that you don't need that, at least as much as you need it now. And there will be some things that you do all the time that you say, I don't need to do anymore. And your love for God will replace it. And all of a sudden, you'll start to realize that your life, you were completely deceived about who you are and why you are. So here's my encouragement to you, that you, starting tomorrow, tonight's your last supper. Don't go buck wild tonight. And even tomorrow that you go again, get a book, but you want to ease into it, and then you're going to ease out of it. The worst thing you could do is stop eating day one because you have all the stuff in you, and the worst thing you could do is after you don't eat for a long time, just start eating a lot. Gradual in, gradual out. Talk to your doctor. Make sure you got medical advice. But you want to seek God. Now, the first step, we're going to take communion here in a minute. The first step is, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to ask you to forgive me of my sin. I want to ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. The Bible calls it being born again. Did I tell you about the guy at the airport? I was at the airport the other day, walking out of the plane, and I'm literally in the aisle of the plane. And right as I get into the ramp, this guy says to me, "Are you Pastor Miles from the church, from the Rock?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Oh, I've been to your church once." I said, "How long ago?" He said, 2 years. I said, "Well, how can you come back in 2 years? I go to college in Connecticut, da 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 da." And he says, "But I have some questions." He says, "I know you don't have time." I said, "No, I got time. Let's do it right now. Ask me two questions. We'll start with that." And we just went off the ramp, got into the airport, and just stood there. He's 20-something. He's in college. And he came to me. He says, I have two questions. And I'm thinking he's going to ask me something like, hey, do you have evening services? Or do you have, you know, small groups or something? Or when did you play for the Chargers? Or something like that. Oh, no. He said, what is the purpose of man? And why did God create us? I was like, brother, you just came out swinging. Like, it's like you've been waiting 4 hours to ask me that question. Very simple answer. Before God created man, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed in oneness, in loving relationship with each other. And then God said, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we're going to make man in our image so they can enjoy the same thing we enjoy, loving relationship with God and with each other. That's it. God created us to enjoy what he enjoyed, loving relationship. And as we're walking out, I'm saying, listen, the world gets us distracted. We got to get money to be happy. We got to get things to be happy. We got to be famous. And God says, I didn't make you for that. I just made you to have a relationship with me. And in the context of our relationship, I'll give you a job. We'll provide all that. But that's not the point. The point is that you have a loving relationship with me. And we got outside of the airport to the curb, to the sidewalk, and I said, would you like to ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin right now? Right here. You know, all you got to do is tell him, and I'll lead you in a prayer. Tell him that you know you're a sinner. Tell him that you believe he died for your sin and rose from the dead. And ask him to forgive you of your sin. It's that simple. You want to do that right now. Now, we're out, and you've been by the airport. There's a bunch of people getting in the cars. We're standing right in the thing. He's just looking at me like this. And he goes, yes, I want to do it. I said, bow your head right now and just pray. And I got in his ear and prayed, and he received the Lord right there. Here's the thing. Right now, amen, God is saying to you, I just want to have a relationship. Whether you fast 40 days or not, I still love you. The fast is a tool to get you closer to me because you got all these distractions. Fast one day, fast no day. I want to have a relationship with you. And all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe that you love me, which he does. I believe you died and rose from the dead for my sin because I believe I'm a sinner. And the penalty of sin is death. One out of every one people are going to die. Now, you could be very mathematically challenged, but that means everybody. That's 100%. One out of every one. And your only reason you're going to die is because of sin. If you ask Christ to be your Savior, when this body goes into the box, you go to heaven. That's called life. And then you get a new body. You get a sweet body. You think you got one now? Yeah, this is all. No, you're going to get a hooked up body. And then you ask Christ to be your Savior. And then you say, Lord, now I want to walk with you and I want to deny myself and I want to turn my back on myself and I just want to focus on you. Fasting helps us do that. Don't think of Christianity as, oh, it's just going to be, I'm going to pray some prayer and get blessed and I can do what I want. That is not what it means. You've heard that term, no pain, no gain. It is very true. When Jesus was arrested, right before he was arrested, which is right before he got crucified, he was praying, sweating blood. It was so stressful. And he prayed to the Father, is there any other way I cannot do this? This is going to be painful. And his Father said, no, you have to do it. If you are going to receive all that God has for you, it's going to require sacrifice. It's like going to the gym. You want to lose a bunch of weight, and you get in the treadmill for 5 minutes, and you walk while you're eating ice cream, smoking a cigarette. And you do that for 5 minutes, and you walk up, you look in the mirror, and you want to see Cindy Crawford. That ain't gonna happen. Y'all don't even know who Cindy Crawford is, do y'all? How many of y'all don't know who Cindy Crawford is? Oh my God. Oh my gosh. She's fine. She's a model. She's a very beautiful model. Matter of fact, she has a mole right here. Right? I have a mole, right? I can't even remember what side of my face is. Literally, when I was a kid, I didn't have this mole. It's either here or here. I think it's right here. It's right there. I didn't have it when I was a little kid. And I just noticed it like a year ago. I was like, where'd that come from? So I call this my Cindy Crawford. I'm not a woman, but still. It's about, Lord, I'm going to surrender my life to you to receive salvation. And then when I receive it, I'm not living for me. I'm living for you. When I live for me, I mess it up. So right now, before we take communion, I want to ask you all, you bow your heads and close your eyes. Dear Lord, I'm excited about the people who are going to fast. I'm excited for what you're going to do in their life. But Lord, for other people, the first step is they need to give their life to you. And they know it. They realize that they're a sinner. They realize you died and rose from the dead for their sin. And they want you to forgive them tonight, right now. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. I want you to know that God loves you just as you are, but he doesn't want to keep you that way. He wants to change and transform you into his image. So if you believe God loves you, you believe God knows who you are, and he has a great plan for your life, better than the plan you have, and you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe that you love me. I believe you know who I am. I believe you know that I'm a sinner, just like everybody else. And I know the penalty of sin is death. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Come live in my heart. Be my Savior and my Lord. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And by standing up, you are acknowledging that you are giving your life to Jesus. By standing up, you are resurrecting from your old life into a new life. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'm going to be ashamed of you before my Father. This is not a time to worry about what people think. It's a time to be concerned about what God thinks. God's been calling you, loving you all your life. This is your chance to say, Lord, here I come. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer, I'm just going to ask you to stand up and acknowledge God in your life. God bless you. Just stand to your feet. God bless you. Very good. Eyes closed, heads bowed. God bless you. God bless you. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing. Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. God bless you. Amen. Dozens of you. Dozens of you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Stay standing. Good. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Anybody else? It's about 40, 50 of y'all. Anybody else? Stand up. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. Now here's what we're going to do. In a minute, we're going to ask all y'all who are standing, we're going to ask you to come down to the altar. And then after we get them down here, we're all going to take communion together. So right now, if you're standing up, just come up out of your seat, come on down to the altar, and let's give them a hand as they come on down. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Stay right there. God bless you. Come on now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. 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 God bless you. God bless you.